You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must-have, an absolute must-add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it. You can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Debbie Neal, and to tell you that she absolutely brought the heat, the fire, she brought it all on this episode. I'm so excited for you to dive in. And to give you a little bit about Debbie, she is an entrepreneur, she's a leadership coach, she's an international speaker, she is a mother of four, and she's also the host of a podcast called Level Up. Now, on this episode, we talk about things such as why you need to stop being afraid of making the wrong decision and simply just start making more decisions. We also talk about how you really do have a choice in the life that you create. And we also talk about how one moment of courage, how one moment can truly begin to shape, to change, and even to uncover truly what you're meant to do in your life. All right, we talk about all of this and so much more in the episode, and we're going to dive right into it this week. If you have not yet, please go to iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you're listening on Spotify, just go ahead and give us a rating there. And other than that, we are going to dive in. Here we go, everybody.
Devi Neal, welcome to the podcast. I am truly beyond excited to have you here.
Well, I am so excited to be here, Stu. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And so as we dive into kind of your story and as you found direction in your own life, I would love it if you could give our listeners a kind of inside look and an idea of like, what was life like for little Debbie as your little girl running around in your life?
First of all, when you say little Debbie, I think of those snack cookies all the time because people used to say that it's like a brand, little Debbie. Okay. So I know like a lot of your listeners might not have heard of that brand. I'm 50, so I don't want to age myself, but I do love the name of your podcast is Finding Direction. And so I'm a really big believer in our life. There are so many roadmaps. There's so many detours. Yeah. There's so many what seems like obstacles to grow through, but they really are pointing us in the direction of our very best life. So I'm going to give you a small version of my life and feel free to stop me at any point. If it's too long, too short, like interject, I'm good.
Perfect.
So my life has always been amazing. I was brought up by amazing parents. And one of the things that I was always instilled was like a work ethic, I came from a very comfortable family, but they were big believers in finding my way, earning my way. And so a couple of things that of value. Well, first, I came from a very competitive life. So my grandparents were actually in competitive tennis, the Wimbledon and the US Open. So at 5 years old, I had a tennis racket in my hand. And so that helped me find my direction in life because no matter what you do, you could be okay, you could be good, or you could dominate. So I was one of those people that I was like, if I was going to play this sport, I gave up socializing to go out with a ball machine and I would practice 8 hours a day. Most people run around their backhand. I'm like, I can't wait till somebody hits it to mine because I'm going to dominate the court. So I played tennis my whole life on a competitive level. I didn't go out to play the game. I went out to dominate the game. So that helped me find my direction. I also was taught amazing work ethic. And so like my college was paid for. Again, I had a good life and I'm very grateful for that. But I was also told, you know, work your summers. That money is your spending money, you know, as you go to college and all those extra things. So where my friends had like these foo-foo fun jobs, I was like, you know what? I found a nursing home to pay me $17 an hour, but I was pushing around the mops and the brooms. And when I would go, and I was in housekeeping. And so when I would make my dad drop me off three blocks later because nobody else was pulling up in the cars that he had. And I wanted people to be nice to me. And I could remember going to like the deli to get an egg sandwich, but I was in scrubs. So I looked like a doctor, but I was pushing around a mop. So that helped me find my direction. Sick work ethic. I think a lot of people today, I live in the United States of America, and sometimes I feel like we're the land of the free and the land of the lazy. So that work ethic helped me find my direction. I also was way too social in high school. I was socializing, going out with my friends, doing all these things. And I had great grades till my junior year. And then my junior year, my dad was like, I pray to God you find something that pays you by the word because all you care about is talking to your friends and you let your grades go down. And so what happened as a result, here's finding my direction. I didn't get into the colleges that I want. I was denied from the colleges that I want. But I'm a very big believer in your failure is like an opportunity for you to like level up, no pun intended, and like step up. So I didn't go to the college of my choice. And my first semester, Stu, 1.7. Okay. 1.7. Okay.
At
not proud of it, but it helped me find my direction. The reason I got a 1.7 is because I got an F in a class because I didn't wake up because I was socializing too much. So I ended up getting great grades after that. And I ended up taking a course to get rid of my F and it was public speaking.
So before we jump into that, because I love where you're going. But one thing I would love to hear from you to dive a little bit deeper into is like, I agree with you in a very large way that having a work ethic is what'll separate you, right? I mean, you see all these cliche things on social media where it's like, you may not control X, Y, and Z, but you can control how hard you work or that you're the hardest worker in the room or whatever. And like, let's say some people are listening to this and they're just like, well, I wasn't instilled that at a young age and I don't really have like a strong work ethic, but they're like, yeah, it probably would help me. What are some things you feel like people can do to like grow your work ethic or enhance it?
I love this question. Okay. Because here's the thing, we could be a product of our circumstances, or we have the ability to create and find our direction in life. And so what I would say to those people are, like, who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Because you're limitless. You have no limits. The only limits you have are the limits you create in your own mind. So whatever it is, you can have excuses. But excuses are, this wasn't instilled in me. Maybe I didn't have a family with good work ethic. All of it's probably true, but is that really your story? Is that serving you, right? So we have the ability to write our own story and to be the difference we want to see in our life. So if you didn't have it, be that. Be that for somebody else and take control right now of those circumstances. And another thing is, there's this thing called fixed mindset and growth mindset. Yeah. Okay. So we could have a fixed mindset, and fixed mindset is like, that's what I believe. I'm not capable of this. I was never taught a good work ethic. I don't have what it takes to succeed. Like, it's for other people, not me. And I could make pages of a fixed mindset, but a growth mindset is, I'm going to do more and be more and have more. And I'm going to do, it might not have been shown to me. It might not have been given to me, but I'm also going to tell you this, there is no one that's successful that haven't had a challenge or overcome something to become victorious, because that's where we learn resilience. That's where we learn grit. And our greatest things are learned in, like, the valley. So you could be a product of your circumstances, or you can become evidence of what's possible and pave the way for people that also have a fixed mindset and believe that they're not capable of having a sick work ethic, because that's just, it could be an example, but what's a sick work ethic? It's something you decide to have. You can wake up today and say, you know what?
Right.
I didn't work in house. Yes, I had the example, but I worked in the housekeeping department five days a week. And then I was a waitress 7 days a week. You know why? Because I want, and I also learned everything I didn't want to do. I was willing to work so I can create a life. I was like, oh, don't want to do that. Learned a lot of things. I don't really want to. I'm willing to work hard, but I learned I wanted to work smart. I didn't. Yeah. That's not what I wanted to do. I feel very grateful for the people that do, that they want to do that, but I don't. So you kind of evolve in your life.
Yeah. And it's such a powerful shift too, to realize the going from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, right? Like, I think maybe some people hear it and well, it's not an excuse, but it's like, if you're honest with yourself for a second, like, and we call it as it is, it kind of is an excuse, right? But if you can own it and say, okay, maybe I wasn't given that thing when I was growing up, but just like you said, is that the story that I want to create for myself? And I think one other piece people can add to that too, is it's like, one of the things I share with a lot of people, it's like, oftentimes as we go throughout life, we wait for life to create leverage for us. We wait for the crazy situation with our health to happen to finally change our health. We wait for finally getting laid off from the job we don't like to finally be like, okay, I'm going to actually do something I love. But if we can, rather than waiting for life to create leverage for us, create leverage for ourselves before that, that's when we can start to have some of these shifts. So it's like, if we look at the work ethic thing, it's like, yeah, you may not have that and feel you can't get that, but maybe the leverage you get is looking at your 5-year-old kid when they come to you one day, or your current 5-year-old kid, and then coming up to you and saying, mom, dad, why can't we do these things? And maybe for you, that's the kick in the butt you need. That's like, all right, my work ethic is now here because I found a way to create leverage for myself. And it's different for everybody, but I think there really is a power in saying, let's not wait for life to create leverage for you, but let's create that leverage and then move in that space. Because like you said, that work ethic is a game changer. And so let's say we jump more forward in your story. And before we get to this class that I'm excited to hear about, I'm curious, did you have an idea of, you know, other than your dad being like, you got to do something, you know, with talking, because like, you're always talking to your friends. When you went into college, did you have an idea of like what you wanted to do with your life?
No. In fact, I was a business major, because I think a lot of times, look, when we go to college at 18 years old, how many people really know what they want to do at 18 years old?
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to be successful. I knew that I wanted to travel and live a life of abundance, but I was 18 years old. I had no idea. So I became a business major because I'm like, okay, business, right? That makes sense. And as I went through it, so I ended up getting an F in a class my freshman year. And so my junior year, I was like, I'm going to take another class to get rid of the F. You know, you can do that because all my other grades were great. And I looked down the list. I didn't have an interest, or so I thought, in public speaking. But again, when you're open and you're creating a vision for your life, I believe you're going to be like led in the right direction, right? Which coincides with your finding direction. You find direction when you're really clear on what your life, you want your life to look like. You might not know the path it's going to be, but I knew the end game. I knew the destination, right? Yeah. And I was just going to like love the journey. So I signed up for public speaking, and I you know, took the class, and I remember I had to speak in front of 50 people or something like that.
Yeah.
And I sat down next, and the fire inside of my soul was, I don't even know what I was speaking about. It might even been about ketchup. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But all I know is that I was like moved. I was moved on a level that I had never felt before. And I sat down and I sat next to one of my sorority sisters, and I'm like, I am so grateful I got an F. Because if I didn't get an F, I might not be here today.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't here, like, I was meant to get that F. Now, you could say you weren't meant to oversleep. You weren't meant to be lazy and not go to class. Okay. But it was lead. I was clear on the direction of my life. I just didn't know the path. And so I sat down and I was like, I don't know what that's going to be, but I see a microphone and I see millions of people. Like, God gave me this, and I don't know how I'm going to use it, but I will use it.
Yeah, that is beyond powerful. And it's funny even hearing you say that and looking at you with the mic in front, right? It's like the vision is true. And I think one thing you said that's so powerful, it's like sometimes we do really get so fixated on the how, or the like, well, that's not really possible, or you know what, but that, you know, and we get kind of caught up in that. But I'm such in agreement with you, where it's like, if you have an idea of like, this is what I want my life to look like, and I'm not willing to settle for a lower standard for what I can live. And we live in an abundant world. You can have anything you want. And if you can have that picture and focus on it, and you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Bob Proctor. I'm assuming you are, right?
Of course. God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. But that was a big thing he would teach, right? Is it's like, you have to have this picture in your mind. Everything in the world's created twice, once in the mind, once in the real world. And when you do that and you allow yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to allow myself to not worry about the middle ground. I'm going to allow myself to just say, you know what, let me not put boundaries on this. And just, this is what I want. This is the picture. And like you said, once you're open, divine timing happens. You are guided. You know what I mean? You will be put in places that you may go, this makes zero sense. And then a year later you go, oh my God, that's why the F showed up.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news for 2021. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
So it's a beautiful thing. And I guess I'm curious, like, how do you think people can create more of those moments, or even that specific moment in their life, to have that sort of epiphany moment you had where it was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Like, how do you think people can create and find that moment in their life?
Well, the person I am today, right? As we grow, we learn more. And so create a vision for your life. Like, what do you, so I had like that come to Jesus moment, but I was still 20 years old. And so I really didn't find my purpose till I was in my 30s. So there was still a journey to find. I knew I was moving in the direction. You know, I graduated college and I had jobs, and then I became the director of training for CVS Pharmacy. And then I had this deep, deep love for training and developing. And I was known as that person. If we're going to her, we're either going to get promoted or fired. Like, I don't know what fire is going to come out of that woman. Okay. Like, there's coaches and then there's like lunatics. And so like I fell in the lunatic category, the good category, but lunatic. And so I was doing that and I ended up walking away from that job because I was one of those women that I'm like, I'm never going to not be a stay-at-home mom. I always want to work the fire this till I had my first baby. And then I was home for 5 years. There's a point here that's actually going to answer your question. And I was like, my dream now is to be a stay-at-home mom. That wasn't true, but I really loved my kids. So I thought it was the truth. Mm. And when I was home after 2 years, I was like, okay, I love them, but I died. My fire died. My purpose died. Like I'm not dismissing it. There are some people that's they love. I love my children, but in order for me to be me, in order for me to be the best me, I need to go light my soul on fire. Yeah. And so I just started journaling. I had no idea what my life was going to look like. So to answer your question, if people don't have a direction, if you don't know, I had that come to Jesus moment with the microphone. All I knew is that I loved it, but I didn't know where that was going to come from. And then I started writing in my affirmation, you know, this is my life of abundance, empower others, travel the world, a life of significance, not just success, you know, play to win, coach to win. And I was just, you know, work on my own terms. And I'm writing all this with absolutely no idea what that's going to look like. And then I remember when I was presented with a business opportunity thinking, like, is this person crazy? Like, I would never do this, blah, blah, blah. But then I realized, although this was not what I thought was the direction of my life, it has the ability to create everything. Mm. So just like you said, energy, things conspire. We don't always know the how, but if we're clear on the direction and we know it, I felt deep. Not only did I didn't want it, I expected it. There's two different things. I mean, I knew it. Dang. I already felt gratitude for it. Yeah. I was a stay-at-home mom strutting in my stuff because I was like, I know it. And so when you have that level, the thoughts become beliefs and the beliefs become action. And then all of a sudden magic happens. And so that's what I would say to people. Be really clear, because when you're not clear, then a bunch of confusion shows up in your life. Yeah. And so I knew the direction, but along the way, we have opportunities and pathways that open up. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, there was things that brought me to my knees and things that didn't work and things I overcame. And the average person can say, well, maybe it's not meant to be. That'd be me. I'm like, I'm getting closer. Yeah. Because this kind of stuff only shows up when you're made for greatness.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up for, like, you know, there's this meme and it says, you know, when her feet hit the ground, the devil says, oh, crap, she's up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, every time something comes, I'm in the right direction. I'm going in the right direction. It's not a sign that I'm not. It's a sign that I am. So that's the advice I'd give people. Be really clear and let go of the how, having that unwavering faith that you're going to attract it into your life.
Yeah. And I love the piece you said there, which is like, I hope everybody hears it, replays it, is like expecting it versus wanting it, right? When you have this sense of expectation, it creates a different set of beliefs, like we said, a different set of thoughts, which turns into different sets of actions in your life versus just saying, oh yeah, I want that. Or, you know, that would be nice. It's like, no, this is like my birthright. I expect this to come into my life. Then crazy, weird things happen that people go, how the heck did that happen? You're like, you literally use the universe in the world, or however you want to call it, a lot of different ways you could say it, but that expectancy drew it to you.
Correct. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story to back that. I teach my children this. We do dream boards. We do vision boards. We talk about expecting. So my daughter, she's 17 years old. When she was 13, I have two daughters, but my younger daughter, she made a dream board. And it was only three things on it, Stu, okay? It had United Kingdom, Dubai, and Australia. So here I am, I'm a mom, I'm thinking, so she goes, yeah, we're gonna go to all three of those places this year. So who do you think's flipping the bill? And I'm like, how do you tell your kids to dream big and then say, tone it down, sister? So what happened is I was actually in, so she put the dream board up. I kind of forgot about it. I was invited to be a keynote in the United Kingdom. I was like, yes, absolutely. Train a bunch of vice presidents. Then I was invited a short time after to be a keynote in Australia. But the issue was there was only 6 days between the two. And I was like, then I would be gone basically 17 days. I'm going to have my kids home. Yeah. Speaking is my passion, but I think I'm going to have to turn down Australia. And they were like, yeah, well, you're not turning down us down. We're basically here. You're coming. We want you. We'll do anything. And I was like, and I've never turned down a speaking thing like that. And I was like, you know what? I said, I need to think about it. Long story short, they were like, absolutely not. We need you to come. What can we do? And I go, well, can I bring my daughters? And they were like, absolutely. And they said, why don't you break up the trip? I'm not geography, Stu. Like, I use my navigation. Yeah. It says, you've arrived. I'm good. Okay. So they go, why don't you break up the trip and go somewhere in between? I go, great. What's in between? They go, Dubai. And then all of a sudden, I had a vision. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So it was 8 months later, and it didn't ring a bell till they said Dubai. Because I've been to the United Kingdom and Australia several times to speak. So my point is, my daughter put that up there and she was like, I already feel gratitude. We're going to those three places. And I was caught between dream big and what? Like, you're not going to Dubai this year. It's not happening. I'm in charge. But she's you're not in charge. So she went to those three places.
And that's something that I just have to imagine is, I mean, she'll remember the rest of her life. It's like, I made that and it became real. It's like, it's interesting sometimes how when you do something that you're like, this is kind of crazy, but let me do it and try it, and it works, that all of a sudden your entire nervous system is like, your entire belief system is like, holy crap, if that worked, what else could I, you know, bring into my life? It's powerful.
And she would ask for like holidays. This is for our trip to Dubai. This is for this. And she would write down, like, it's just amazing that all, like, I couldn't have planned that if I, you know, you can't control the invitations. You don't know the locations. Yeah. And I didn't even know where Dubai was, to be honest with you, at all. So it's just pretty powerful when you have a vision and you really believe it. Not just like, oh, you know, I wish, and not take deliberate, intentional energy to surround that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, if we look at almost like the opposite side of the spectrum, do you have a moment in your life where you remember feeling, I don't know, like the most lost, the most just unclear, the most like questioning, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? Do you have a moment like that? Or what was like your hardest moment or your most lost moment?
Well, I'll tell you my hardest moment. Okay. And again, it helped me find my direction. It helped me find my power. When I was in the moment, it was not. But long story short, I was in the hospital when I was 21 years old, and I was in the hospital for about 4 or 5 days. And there could be a whole book on this, and at some point there may be, but I was told by a doctor, you will never be a mom. I'm so sorry to tell you this. You will never be a mom. And I remember feeling like it's not, that wasn't something that I actively talked about. When you're in college, you're not, you know, like, you just kind of just assumed you're going to be a parent.
Yeah.
And I remember being in that hospital room feeling broke, like, oh, family, how could I not be a parent? And I remember feeling so lost and so broken. And that lasted, gosh, for about three days, maybe a week. I don't really remember. But then I remember all of a sudden having another come to Jesus moment. And I was like, they gave me science. They gave me their evidence, but they don't know the power of my mindset. And I look back now and I'm like, God had really big plans for my life. But in order to find my purpose, I had to prove myself throughout. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really want to empower others, if you really want to look at somebody in the face and say you can overcome things, I believe there's many points in our life that we kind of need to prove that to ourselves. I don't want to say it's a big test, but sometimes there is. And I remember saying, you know what? I'm actually going to rip up these hospital papers. I'm going to do my best to grow through what I just experienced in my life. And I'm going to pray that somehow this was used for a higher purpose and a higher meaning in my life. And I'm going to defy the odds. I saw the percentages. They told me the odds. I'm going to dominate this game. And so I'm a mom of four. But I can tell you, I can see that I was at a fork in the road. When we're finding direction in our life, you can really easy make a left when you're supposed to make a right. It's really easy to make a left if that left is like, look, you were told. If I believed that, I would have supported that, and I wouldn't have taken the actions, the deliberate, intentional, emotional, stressful actions to redefine the story that was told to me. And I know that this is not everybody's story, and maybe there's things that really do prevent people. I get it. But if that was the case, I would have been okay accepting it, knowing I did everything in my power to reverse those words. And I think sometimes we take words to gospel. This is what was told to me. This is what five doctors told me. Well, those five people would never love my kids the way I love my kids.
Yeah.
So once I really got myself together, it was at that moment I realized. And then as you grow through life and success, and people say, oh, is this hard? Is this a challenge? I've seen hard. I've looked it in the face. Okay.
Yeah.
The circumstances leading up to that moment were hard. The possible outcome was hard. Growing into the person I was meant to be was challenging. But that's when those things happen, we have an opportunity to learn and expand, because you're not going to grow to where you want to be without looking hard in the face. You're not. When things fall in your lap, you don't value it. You don't appreciate it as much as if you really work for it.
Yeah. Love it. It's crazy, right? And there's so many of those stories that you hear where, you know, I mean, in the doctor sense, right? It's like five doctors said you're going to die. You have 90 days or whatever. But it's like, if you really do harness the power of your mind, it's just crazy the things you can achieve. And I think for anybody that's listening to this and going through something like that, or if you know someone, I think one of the best ways to start priming yourself for that is continue to listen to other stories where people have overcome and done these things. Because the more you hear it, the more normal it becomes. And the more all of a sudden, if you don't have the moment like you, where you're like, I'm just declaring this, and you need a little bit more, hearing it more and more can kind of help you make that shift. And one thing I'd be curious. So obviously you got four kids now. I believe they're sort of in this phase where they're sort of figuring out their life. And I'm curious, like, what's any advice you give them when it comes to, you know, they come mom say, hey, I don't know what the heck I want to do with my life. What are the things you say to them?
Well, this is what I also believe. As we expand and we're finding direction, we're inspiring the people around us. When we live an ordinary life, when we live an average life, when we're not using our potential and we're not stretching ourselves, we affect the people around us, and the conversations are different. The expectations are different. The goals are different. And my expectation for them is that they have a better life than I have. Like, I want them to level up in everything they do. So the great thing about pushing yourself is that they've watched me achieve things. They've watched me miss things. They've watched me set out goals. They've watched me achieve them. They've sat in an audience of 30,000 people and watching me speak to other people. And it's not just watching their mom. It's hearing what the conversations are about. It's hearing, you know, how we push people. So my daughter, who's 23 years old, is in the business I'm in. She can stand in front of thousands of people and speak. She's 23 years old, but she has wisdom and she has so much that I didn't have at 23 years old. Like, she's, you know, her beginning game is like my end game, if that makes sense. You know, my 20-year-old, my son is, I've watched him grow through so many amazing things. And, you know, he's a leader and is the top of his class. And, you know, he's the captain of his lacrosse team in college. Yeah. And I watch his character and I watch his level of leadership and commitment and conversations. Like, to me, he's not an average 20-year-old, you know? Yeah. My twins, my daughter was making a dream board and had me traveling around the world, unbeknownst to me, on her vision. My son, Ryan, at a really young age, was, you know, started a few online businesses. And one of them was like buying sneakers. Adidas would drop and he'd buy, you know, a bunch of sneakers for $300 and sell them for $1,200. And he, you know, he was having a conversation with somebody one time and they were like, oh yeah, you know, I made $20 an hour. And he's like, oh, I just made $1,000. And they were like, but you never left the house. He's like, right. And they're like, so you didn't work. And I love listening to the conversations because he's like, you think making money is trading your time for money. Yeah. I think making money is allowing my money to make me money. And I'm like, he's 11 years old. I must have done something right, you know? And so they're their own people.
Yeah.
But what they know personal growth. I used to pay my kids when they were so into sports that they couldn't work. They were doing travel and all these things. I would say, I'll pay you to read books. And people used to think you're bribing your kids. I'm like, no, I'm not. I have to give them money anyway. They don't have one day to work. They're going to school. They're honor roll kids and they're in travel sports. They don't have time to work. So I am going to give them money. So now I'm going to pay them to fill their brains with what I want it filled with. I didn't read a personal growth book till I was 36 years old. Yeah. So if I could get them, you know, my son at 20, like, I'm done with a book. Please send me another one. Please send me another one.
Cool.
So, you know, more is caught than taught.
Mm.
More is caught than taught. So when we expand, the people around us expand.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, Debbie, you have a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. Thank you so much for being here. I'm curious if anybody's listening to this, they're like, I need some more Debbie in my life. Where's the best place for them to find you, hang out with you, all that good stuff?
Well, I have a podcast as well. So it's called Level Up with Debbie Neal. And so I'm one of those voices that you might love me, you might hate me, but I am going to be, my purpose is to get into the hearts and the souls and the guts of people and kind of reach in and yank out your God-given potential. So you can find me on my podcast and on Instagram. Here's a challenge, okay, for me. I have a personal page, Debbie Neal, which basically Debbie_Neal. And then I started one with my podcast. If anybody has tips on two pages, really let me know because it's level up .DebbieNeal. But anyway, you could find me in those two pages, but mostly on Debbie Neal. And I'm going to do better on the other page.
Okay, perfect. And so the last question I have for you, a question we ask all our guests, because we want to help people find direction, but we believe in doing it through action, is what is one thing that someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Move forward. Stop overthinking it. So many people are afraid to take a step because they think, what if it's the wrong step? Okay, then you'll know the right step. There are so many things I've done in my life and I was like, ow, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do this professionally. I don't want to do that personally. So many people are waiting for perfection. They're waiting for what would you do in this scenario? Go build an experience. Be willing to be bad, to be good, good to be great, and great to be amazing. And you need to be willing to fall in order to fly. So go and move and take action.
Let's go. I love that. All right. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for being here. Again, everybody go check out Debbie, hang out with her. It's been an honor to have you here. And again, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Stu.
Wow, that was absolutely some incredible wisdom brought to us by Debbie right there. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I truly did. And other than that, again, congratulations on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast, my friend. I'm so excited for you to continue to pursue a life that lights up your soul, a life that you deserve, and a life that you love. So without that, have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody, and I will talk to you on the podcast next time.